Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenemann
and Maya Schoen, along with
Ralph Pointer.
And we're here for an update on the case of Lynn Stewart. On June 28, 2012, the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit issued its opinion in a reconsideration of the onerous 10-year resentencing of Lynn Stewart. The circuit court judges were Judge Walker, Calabresi, and Judge Sack, the three original circuit court judges. We're going to discuss this onerous opinion, this opinion that says things that make absolutely no sense to those of us who have been political activists and who know Lynn Stewart really well. Also, we have the wonderful news that Lynn finally had the much-needed surgery, surgery that she was scheduled to have and required before her bail was withdrawn and she was sent to prison. And Lynn is doing well. We'll start with Ralph Pointer, who recently came back from the Federal Medical Center at Carswell, where Lynn is incarcerated. Ralph.
Yes. I just returned from visiting Lynn this past weekend. I felt that when the decision of the Second Circuit to continue their decision to increase her 28-month sentence to 120 months, that it was important that we had conversation for personal, political, and spiritual reasons. And she said, in closing, I have to say that any weakness in my body should not be mistaken for a weakness in my spirit or will. When I signed on for this struggle back in 1962 to rescue my country and all of its people from the powers that would ruin, twist, and destroy us all, it wasn't for a week or a day, but always. Until we win, I welcome your support and love. This is where Lynn is, and she was not surprised but disappointed in the Second Circuit decision to continue her 120-month sentence. But it is the process which forced her to go back to the Second Circuit. You cannot skip over a circuit decision when you go before the Supreme Court. You have to go through that same circuit, and she says very rare does a judge say that they were wrong. And Ralph could give reasons why that Second Circuit was not a just and legitimate situation.
Well, actually, we have to bear in mind that the three stooges, as I like to call them, Judges Sack, Walker, and Calabresi, stood in for the entire Second Circuit, which is a court of many judges. And these three judges, who had led the charge in demanding that Lynn receive not merely 10 but 30 years initially, cobbled together a decision in which they set aside all the First Amendment issues which are paramount and obvious in this matter, because basically what they were maintaining is that Lynn showed not only her lack of remorse, but terrorist and criminal intent by virtue of two statements that she gave. The one was when she was on Democracy Now! And was asked, well, would you do anything differently? A CNN question from Amy Goodman. And Lynn's response was, I'd like to think I would not do anything differently. I had no criminal intent whatsoever. This was a considered decision based upon the need of my client. And she was referring to the decision to represent and defend the innocence of Sheikh Omar Abdulrahman. And secondly, she was referring to the fact that, as is the normal practice amongst defense attorneys, she was giving voice to the Sheikh's ideas and views and positions. The government using the court, the press, as a bully pulpit for their propaganda. But she was accused of violating a prison administrative order given by Ashcroft, the psalm-singing attorney general, which made it obligatory on the part of defense attorneys not to issue public statements regarding their clients. Now, this is an administrative ruling, the penalty for which is neither a misdemeanor or a felony. It has no weight in law whatsoever. The only penalty arising from a breach of the SAMs, namely the decision on the part of the attorneys to speak about their clients or to give a statement of their clients about their views and ideas, the only penalty was to put them on notice that they couldn't continue to represent or rather to visit their client unless they abided by the SAMs. But this was converted by the court into a criminal offense sufficient to quadruple her sentence of 28 months, which should never have been visited upon her in the first place, to 10 years. And the enormity of this is that they attempted to rationalize this by maintaining that the statement that was released by Lynn Stewart, a press statement to Reuters by the sheikh, addressed the position of his movement and of the population in Egypt in response to the behavior of the Mubarak regime, a Mubarak regime that was killing people, disappearing people, rounding them up, and subjecting them to torture and indefinite detention without trial, and randomly picking out people and their families who in any way had shown opposition to the regime. Now, the opposition was deemed terrorist by the court. And it's very important to note, I want to emphasize, that in the original ruling by the Second Circuit Three Stooges, these three judges, they demanded of Judge Codal that he increase the sentence of 28 months to as much as 30 years based upon the claim that the sheikh had a terrorist organization which had murdered people at Aswan Dam, wounded and murdered people in an armed attack. Well, in this current decision to uphold the increase of sentence to 10 months, the appellate decision to the Second Circuit, they attempted to cover themselves by noting the fact that the organization in question that had committed this act at Aswan was not that of the sheikh, but, as they said, related to his organization. Related? It is another organization, and that completely vitiates the pretext in the first place of designating Lynn as aiding a terrorist by virtue of the fact that she releases a press statement. How has history looked upon this? The Mubarak regime has been acknowledged by the world as a terrorist regime. He was put on trial for his life because of his crimes against his people. And he has been not only removed, but the organization that he demonized, the Muslim Brotherhood, has now elected a president in Egypt. Who is vindicated by history in this matter? And where did this leave these judges who are attempting to demonize Lynn Stewart and to sentence her to 10 years? They would have liked to have had it at 30, on the basis of her saying, I would not do anything differently with respect to representing the innocence of my client. I had no criminal intent. And beyond that, they demonized Lynn for not showing sufficient remorse by virtue of the fact that when she emerged from the prison with the realization that instead of 30 years, she would only be getting 28 months.
Ralph.
Yes.
When Lynn Stewart came out of the court, she very clearly stated, as every camera has recorded, she says, as many as my clients have told me, I can do 28 months standing on my head. She referred to what her clients had said to her about a sentence that was something that was doable. And it is very important that we emphasize the truth of what Lynn's statement was. Not that I could do 28 months standing on my head, but many of my clients have said to me, I can do that 28 months standing on my head. And what she was in effect is saying is that, yes, this is a terrible thing, but not as terrible as 30 years. And I think people have used that statement to say that Lynn was disrespectful of the judge, and they forgot all of the statements that she had made at the same moment saying, I appreciate what the judge has done. And it takes that away when you don't make that extremely clear.
No, I agree with you. It was very clear that Lynn had expressed appreciation to the judge for not yielding to the huge pressure on the part of the government and the prosecution for 30 years or for a huge and draconian sentence, no question about that. How does this statement translate into a justification for quadrupling a sentence 10 years, and how does that translate into a lack of remorse? She defended her defense of the sheikh, who was an innocent man, and she continues to say, I had the right to defend him, he was innocent. That is correct.
I was very concerned about Lynn getting an operation under the auspices of this federal government due to history of what happens to political prisoners in hospitals. And when Lynn came out of the prison, she was concerned about contacting or contracting a virus or whatever people get when they go to hospitals, any hospital. You can get infections. And when they told her 3 days after the operation, she was back in the prison. She was very concerned about it. But I would like to note that Stella Martinez, a fellow inmate from the Bronx, had organized the inmates in her section, and Lynn said when she walked back to the prison, it was like a hospital. It was spectacular, spotless, clean, and when she saw it, she cried uncontrollably because of what the inmates had taken upon themselves to do, and they continue to protect her. They change her beds every night for her and say, Miss S, we got your back. And to me, this is the people rising up and speaking. The people in Egypt, the people at Carswell Federal Medical Center, and hopefully the people of America will begin to understand that they have hollered terror, terror, and stolen their jobs, their homes, their future, their education, and we have to wake up to all of this nonsense about terror and recognize who the terrorists are. And as I started out, Lynn said, my body may not be strong, but my spirit is forever. And Lynn Stewart, LS, stands for Love Struggle.
This has been Taking Aim with
Ralph Shonman
and Maya Schoen, along with
Ralph Pointer.
And in spirit, Lynn Stewart, who's at the Federal Medical Center in Carswell. Please look at the opinion and the letters from Lynn. Her recent update is Bittersweet Week and the Future, and you can find it at lynnstewart.org. You can write to Lynn at Lynn Stewart, number 53504-054, Federal Medical Center, Carswell, P.O. Box 27137, Fort Worth, Texas, 76127. She's waiting to hear from you. She responds to all your wonderful letters. Please, let's keep Lynn's spirits alive as the court case will continue for the request for an en banc. That means all the judges reviewing the reconsideration of the sentencing and then on to the Supreme Court.